Bruce Broussard with Proverbial Perspectives, and Bruce and his guests will be talking about Juneteenth.
How we doing? I know we're all in the backyard. Weather's just beautiful out there right now. Because of this weather, we have all sorts of activities, especially on the weekends. All sorts of parades, activities, a little barbecue here, a little caviar here. Everybody's having fun. But today, what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to talk a little bit about history, something that we need to know more of. Because we're still plagued, if you will, with the whole issue of racism. The word comes out all the time. It's always coming out. When is it going to end? Well, in all due respect, I'm going to give you for this hour a little history that will put it back in sort of a perspective that I think that once you hear it, you'll understand what my sense is all about. Because at some point in time, we have to come to a point where we're all individuals and we're all free, if you will. So tonight we're going to talk about Juneteenth. I don't know how much you know about what Juneteenth is all about, but you know we're also right in the midst of politics, Republicans and Democrats. Well, let me tell you what happened back in the 1800s, like 1863, when a Republican by the name of Abraham Lincoln was the one that signed the Emancipation Proclamation, freeing and doing away with abolishing slavery. He signed this proclamation abolishing slavery. In 1863, January 1, 1863. Well, I got a passage here. Like I said, we're right in the midst of R's and D's. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to read this piece. I got this piece out of a gentleman who came to town. His name is Michael Zack, and he's sort of a historian. Sure, he has a flavor about Republicans aspect of it, but it's what he talked about history that I was very interested in. And then bringing it up to the date, and then we're going to talk about the reenactment, if you will, of what happened January 1, 1863, during that particular era, and actually then Juneteenth, June 19th, 1865, when this particular military person went down south with about 2,000 troops and was telling people up in Texas in the South, if you will, that people were free, mm-hmm. were free. They were still. These people were still in slavery during that particular time, 2 years after President Lincoln signed that Emancipation Proclamation. Well, let me read you this passage. This is a very interesting piece. And like I said, let's get the politics out of it. But my point here is that during that day, Republicans were for blacks. Amen. And Democrats mm-hmm. were basically the slave owners. Uh-huh. They were the Confederacy. Right. Yes. Today, it's kind of interesting. It seems as like it's a switch. Mm-hmm. So there's need of an education. Republicans a lot of times don't feel comfortable in relating to that history. And Democrats assume that they were the history. Well, now what we're going to do, we're going to give you a little background in terms of how this stuff all started. And then today, like I said, we're going to bring up the reenactment. I've got two people in the studio. I got a person here back from my hometown to a certain degree. And she's Harriet Tubman. And then I got another local here, and she will talk to the fact that I can't give you her name, but my point is that she's also part of this team of bringing on Juneteenth here in Oregon, if you will. And we'll talk to her about this. But the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to go on and read this piece. You're going to like this. This is by Michael Zack. Juneteenth, when the Republicans ended slavery. Today, Americans celebrate Juneteenth. When in 1865, slavery finally ended throughout the entire United States. Sadly, few people know that Juneteenth was a high watermark for African Americans. Soon after that great day, the Democratic Party defeated the Reconstruction policies of the Republican Party, postponing the Civil Rights Movement until 1950. An important fact which most history books ignore is that Abraham Lincoln's 1864 running mate was a Democrat, Andrew Johnson of Tennessee, And so after Lincoln's assassination, it was a Democrat who would be president of the United States for the first 4 years after the Civil War. That first President Johnson did all in his power to prevent African Americans from experiencing Lincoln's new birth of freedom. It was in Texas where slavery finally ended. On June 19, 1865, U.S. troops commanded by General Gordon Granger landed at Galveston and brought some important news that the Democrats running the state had refused to tell their slaves that they had been legally freed more than 2 years before by the Emancipation Proclamation. Granger's famous General Order No. 3 read, "The people of Texas are informed that in accordance with a proclamation from the executive of the United States, all slaves are free." This involves an absolute equality of rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves. And the connection here, therefore, existing between them becomes that between employer and free laborer. Mm-hmm. General Granger then traveled around Texas to inform the African Americans still being held as slaves by their Democrat masters that they were in fact free. Granger was a zealous advocate for full civil rights for African Americans. Too zealous, it turned out, for President Andrew Johnson on August 6, 1865, just 7 weeks after his arrival, President Johnson relieved Granger from command in Texas. That same month, Johnson removed all African Americans serving in the U.S. Army occupation forces. And I'm talking about Buffalo Soldiers, because they were part of that 2,000 regiment that was going around the South during that particular time.
All right.
Any officer in the U.S. Army who exerted himself too much in defense of African Americans was out of a job. For this reason, Johnson dismissed the conscientious Phil Sheridan, who had sent General Granger to Galveston from command in Texas and Louisiana. Sheridan's replacement was General Winfield Hancock, who then allowed white supremacists, thugs, a free hand. So impressed were former rebels with the performance of Hancock that he would receive the support of the Solid South when he became the Democratic Party's presidential candidate in 1880. President Andrew Johnson campaigned against ratification of the 14th Amendment and vetoed the Republican Civil Rights Act of 1866. It was he who quashed Republican attempts to provide 40 acres and a mule to emancipated African Americans. Andrew Johnson vetoed a bill to extend voting rights to African Americans in the District of Columbia, saying he wanted a completely white man's government. And in Johnson's racist mind, the civil rights hero, Frederick Douglass, was a damn scoundrel. Southern Democrats, the former Confederate rebels, and President Johnson exercised almost complete control over the post-Civil War South for 2 years after Appomattox. The Democrat state government set up the Andrew Johnson administration quickly reduced African Americans to near slavery with the infamous Black Codes. Not until March of 1867, when they attained two-thirds majorities in Congress, were Republicans able to override Johnson's vetoes and enact their Reconstruction policies, beginning with the Reconstruction Act of 1867. Unfortunately, the two-year delay before the onset of Republican Reconstruction had enabled the Democrats to strengthen their grip on power on African Americans in the South. As soon as they were back in power in the Southern states, Democrats closed down most of the public school system that Republican administrations had established for African Americans as well as poor whites. Democrat terrorist organizations such as the Ku Klux Klan and the Knights of the White Camellia denied African Americans their right to vote in the South, where dozens of African Americans had held elective office while Republicans were in power at the state level. The restoration of Democrat rule meant the exclusion of African Americans from politics for nearly a century. Mm-hmm. There, ladies and gentlemen, gives you sort of a little brief just a little brief about what really happened during that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
Now we bring it up to the date. Do you see some semblance of some of the things that I just shared with you?
Some of the same thing.
We're still concerned trying to figure out how do we go about getting the Voting Rights Act for every American in this country.
Mm-hmm.
We're still fighting the same situation.
Still fighting.
The same school problem. We're having the same situation here at Jefferson High School.
Amen.
In the Portland metropolitan area. Around same. This country, for that matter.
Same thing.
Look
south.
At the incarceration, if you will, of African Americans around this country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, we can go on and on and on. So the point is, I wanted to bring this up. You know, we are constantly always talking about Republicans and Democrats, but we're not really understanding what the real issues are. We still got human beings out here that are suffering. We still have the divisiveness, if you will, mm-hmm. and calling people's minorities and disadvantages and things of that nature.
That's true.
Absolutely.
It's time we start getting up and smell the coffee.
All right.
Let's smell the coffee.
All right.
Well, now we're going to talk about the coffee. Let's pour some coffee. And what we're going to do, I got my two guests here. We're going to talk about the reenactment, if you will, of the march.
Amen.
Of those troops. I got two troopers right here,
Amen.
Here in the studio. And now that we're going back to Texas and Galveston, but we're going to Portland, Oregon this time.
Amen.
We reenacted this whole issue back in 1865, June 19th. This is what it means right now, and this is what it means in Portland. We just did this, the reenactment, on the 17th, which was this past Saturday.
All
and
right.
Trust me, we marched down Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and I'm here to say it's sad that the place, that there, it should have been lined up with people on either side of MLK. They
uh-huh.
should have been there, but they weren't.
All right.
And especially black folks, my brothers and sisters, you got to understand what's going on.
Come join our parade.
Please, you got to understand what this history is all about.
Amen.
Well, I'm not talking about Republicans and Democrats. I'm talking about the real history. I'm
yeah.
talking about this man. His name was President Abraham Lincoln.
All
he
right.
happened to have been a Republican at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And we fought for that flag, the American flag.
Mm.
And at that time, Lincoln basically went to Frederick Douglass, a black man. The black man who sat down with him and basically said, hey, look, I'm losing this war.
Uh-huh.
I need your help. And he worked out a deal. As the article went, he worked out a deal. And he said, okay, fine, we'll come in and join you.
All
but when
right.
you come in and join you, what are we going to get out of this situation?
Uh-huh.
Well, if you come in and volunteer to work in the Union Army, to fight for the Union Army, for the American flag, we'll give you 40 acres and a mule. And if you don't understand what that meant, is that during that day, is that the mule was a tractor.
All right.
And you had the land. And if you want to make some money, you had to be able to tall that land.
All
and
right.
the mule was very valuable. You'd get killed. You'd get hung if you stole somebody else's mule.
All right.
And so the bottom line is that that's what we were fighting for. And as the article said, is that when that man got shot in the head, Abraham Lincoln, by Thomas Wilkes Booth. You've heard that before.
Yes.
Another Southerner, Confederate, if you will, if you want to talk politics, a Democrat.
Okay.
Shot him in the head because Lincoln wanted to sign another order, the right to vote.
All right.
So the bottom line is that what would have happened if this man, Abraham Lincoln, had been able to serve that second term and maybe ran a third term, maybe a fourth term?
All right.
Wouldn't this life be a change today? Wouldn't you think so?
Yes.
Big difference.
Okay. So now let me let these troopers come in. Now, I think I've said enough. Why don't I go now? In fact, why don't we let you introduce Harriet Tubman? Because I know we've got some good background on this lady. I mean, she's always missing it, but I want you to just bring her down. Because now we're talking about this event in Portland, Oregon. I want you to talk about when it all started. I want you to bring it up to date with us, and because they need to be educated about this whole piece. Okay, you got the mic.
Okay, maybe I'll do our little chant to introduce her. Please overlook the fact that I can't sing. Harriet Tubman was known for her bravery. She led our people out of slavery. She comes again from Hattiesburg, bringing with her this one word. Reparations is our call. We intend to get it all.
Right.
Reparations must be paid. Full accounting must be made. This is Harriet Tubman from Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
All right.
She joined the People's Juneteenth Passageover Committee's Freedom Trail Passageover Parade in 1995.
1995.
Yes, she did. And she jumped. We were struggling, trying to struggle down the street. And I remember I was struggling with a bullhorn and not being that successful. And she said, "You look like you need some help." Pulled up alongside in her car from St. Jude's Church and jumped out with her walking stick, grabbed a bullhorn. She's been leading the Underground Railroad of Portland, Oregon ever since.
Oh, my God. Let's bring on this African-American woman.
Yes.
Come on. Let's talk about it, Harriet.
Well, I'm just happy to be in your city. And
where you from?
I'm from Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Just about 30 miles, I guess, a little place called Collins, where I've lived for the past 20 years, I guess, of all my life. Held as a slave there for 15 years.
Amen.
By a black man.
Wait a minute. Say that one more time now.
Yes, I was held a slave.
Yes.
15 years by gunpoint by a black man.
In 1955.
I was kidnapped and brought there in Collins, Mississippi.
As a youngster.
I was about 13 years old for a man over 65 years old.
Mm.
And that's where I stayed for 14 years under gunpoint.
Mm.
In the past years, I came to Oregon to visit my sisters and, being in the ministry, I met Sister Sojourner Truth. And didn't know too much about history, but hearing her talk and listening at what was going on, I come to find out that I was Moses.
You were Moses.
I was Moses.
I tell you what, I know you are. Amen.
Because my job is to lead people and to show them the right way out of slavery, from right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
When I first came, I didn't have any wings. I'd ride the bus 3 days and nights.
Mm-hmm.
So the later years, I began to learn how to fly, and now I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I don't think I have missed a year since 1995.
So you've been in the Marine Corps since then, right?
Ever since
coming
from
Mississippi.
From Mississippi.
Leading the Underground Railroad.
Leading the Underground Railroad, and I enjoy
it. By Greyhound.
Right.
And I pray that I can continue lead the Underground Railroad as Harriet Tubman, because she's one that made the 19 trips from the Deep South to lead our people. And I can say I'm as brave as a lion.
Gentle as a fox.
Sly as a fox. And I will not run my train off the track. I don't believe a one or look back.
Amen. Well, you know, as we're talking about this, and I think about, we had another Harriet Tubman, and then she gave her the baton in 1995.
She did.
And I'm talking about Clara People way back when. Let's talk about
God.
Clara. Clara is the one that gave her the baton to carry it on from this day forward. Let's talk a little bit about how we got this thing started here in Portland.
It was 1945. Our Queen Mother was in her prime.
Yes.
She brought Juneteenth to her job. Working at the old shipyard.
All right.
40 acres and a mule. This is Juneteenth's golden rule.
Oh, boy. I'm liking all of this. Let's talk about Clara a little
Clara
bit.
Clara Peoples, she's the only one in the passage over. We don't have a name in honor of our ancestors whose name were taken. And she's the only one who we decided we were going to grant Clara Peoples her name while she's still with us.
Good.
And she was in the van, poor flood. She was a Sunday school teacher at Beth-El-A-M-E Church, and she was working at the shipyard.
Mm.
And she realized, because she came from Oklahoma.
1945,
it was 1945. And you know where all the states come together, where the Buffalo Soldiers brought the word of freedom?
Right.
She's right from that area.
Right.
And she has the Irish and the Native American blood flowing in her veins. She can speak to people from all walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
Yet she's a strong black American woman.
Yes.
So she went to her, with this great historical background, she went to the boss of her shipyard. She said, "These people here in Oregon don't even know what Juneteenth is." She said, "Can I have 11 minutes on your microphone?"
Mm-hmm.
Or she said, "Can I have a little time on the microphone to celebrate Juneteenth?" And he said, "I'll tell you what, Clara, I'll give you 11 minutes."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she said, "Hey, everybody, this is Juneteenth."
All right.
So for the next 11 minutes, they celebrated. When the 11 minutes was up, he gave her one more minute.
One more minute. Yeah,
and they brought it out.
Been history since,
and
ever since.
History ever since. And ever since then, she's had a march in a celebration at the Bethel AME Church. You hear about the people, they're out in the street for Juneteenth, you know, ever since then. Then in 94, the Passage Over Committee was celebrating the commemoration of the ancestors who made the Middle Passage.
Mm-hmm.
And she bumped into the member of the Passage Over Committee in Kinko's, which, as you know, is like the watering hole.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they decided to get together. And the next year, 1995, they've been together ever since.
Ever since.
With the People's Juneteenth Passage Over Committee.
Wow.
And the Freedom Trail Passage Over Parade.
That's huge. You know, again, like you said, just taking up with where you're talking to in terms of Clara People. I mean, what a beautiful black woman. She's aged a bit, but I tell you,
she doesn't look any older.
There's no way. Her mind is just as young as
it is. She's
another Tubman.
Yeah.
She's a Tubman. You know, she's a Harry Tubman.
She was in the hospital and she's been in her deathbed about 50 times.
I heard that.
And we brought a picture of Harriet Tubman up there, and she woke up out of a coma. She pointed just like at the picture, just like Harriet Tubman.
Wow.
And she said to the young boy who was praying for her, she said, "We can't stop.
Mm-hmm.
We can't stop." Next day she was back on her feet.
She's a very strong woman.
Yeah,
I'm thinking some of the other things that she has done here locally, we can talk a little bit about her. And that is that, you know, she just had in her mind one day, she said, "Look, people are starving out here."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People were looking for food, didn't know what to do. And I still know some of the story about the fact that she got in her car and she went around to the farms and she went around to the stores. And
they
she
know
put
her
food,
to this day.
And they put food in her car. She just picked it up. She said, "Look, I'll take the stuff that's kind of spoiled."
All right.
She'd go home and cut off the apples that were spoiled and all kinds of food and corn and anything she could, and then come back to the church.
Yeah.
All right. And then announce it to all Portland.
Mm-hmm.
All agencies and this, that, and the other said, "Look, here, come on down here and pick yourself a bag.
All right.
Pick yourself some food with respect."
When she done with it, was beautiful.
With respect.
Yeah.
And in fact, to this day, the Oregon Food Bank, a lot of people don't know that.
All right.
That was that Harriet Tubman sister.
She was the founder. She was the founder of, as far as the names go, the first food bank, Meal on Wheels, and, what's the other one? The grain, the ones who go out in the field, what do they call that? It escapes me.
Okay.
Gleaners.
Okay. The gleaners.
The gleaners of the field.
She basically.
Those were the names. She was the founder of all of those things. So she hasn't been given recognition.
Isn't that something? I mean, and here's a woman. She had no, there was no such thing as race.
No.
All right.
In her mind. It was just like Tubman here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because this was a.
She had love for children.
It was a love for children. And people. She just loved people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you need to know that about.
That's why I gave her the name Clara People.
So this is the kind of dynamics, if you will, that's behind the reenactment, if you will, of this day, Juneteenth, if you will.
Uh-huh. And the brother W.B. who got in it and has done so many wonderful things, he was with the first Passage Over Parade. And he got with her back then. And
well, let's talk about him. Get his name out there. Willie Brock. Get him out there.
I can't give him his name, but you can.
I've got to give him. I'll give him respect.
Yeah.
I mean, in all due respect, here's a person who has been struggling in his own life. but he still has a family.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He has a family. And he basically,
is.
Because what happens is that once you get the real essence behind the Juneteenth situation is really that march.
Yeah.
That march.
Yes.
Those Buffalo soldiers coming in town with those officers, letting these black folks know you're free.
You're free.
And telling those slave owners, you can't do that no more.
All right.
And he can't do that no more.
All right.
And then afterwards, everybody was jubilant and was basically, they were so
happy,
overjoyed, if you will. And they just started dancing right there, probably threw that sack, probably threw that cotton sack away. Because I remember I had mine.
What'd you say? I know it's
threw them bowls, you know, just threw that stuff out. Say, I'm free.
Free at last.
Great God Almighty, I'm free at
last.
Remember that? Remember them days?
Remember them days.
You see what I'm saying? And so all of a sudden, so that's the whole idea. So naturally, after we get through doing the march aspect of it over here locally, we normally go and we have festivities.
Yes, we
if you will. This year we had it at Peninsula Park.
Yes,
right?
We did.
Beautiful.
And you want to talk a little bit about Peninsula Park and what we do over there?
I think I'll let you talk about Peninsula Park, but I was wondering, Brother B.B., if you could just go over some of the groups that participated in the march before we get to Peninsula.
Okay, well, let's share that.
The groups.
Right,
the Quakers.
Yes, right. The Quakers.
The firefighters in honor of the Civil War soldiers who gave their
lives. John Brown was there.
John Brown's there every year. And St. Jude's, Mason's
Easter
Star.
We had the princess from Jefferson High School. She was there. Two other queens for something. Miss Oregon. And
Do you have any others, Miss Tubman, that you want to mention?
Miss Tubman had the bullhorn.
She had the bullhorns. Church of the Living God had many great presence with Elder Green. He's passed over his church. I can mention his name.
And then the military representation was very unique.
Great.
We had the person that was the grand marshal for the military part of it was a general by the name of Gary Dean. Gary was the first African American promoted to general in Oregon's history in the National Guard.
Oh, okay.
In the Air National Guard. So he was at the front of the line, if you will, in a Jeep.
Isn't that wonderful?
Isn't that something? Gary Dean.
That's history in the making.
Was history in the making. We always tend to try to find some history in the making on an ongoing basis, you know, just like we have Harriet Tubman here.
I want to mention Mary Jean Berry, who was in the first Juneteenth celebration in the Eastern Star.
Mason were walking, they were walking, and then we had the replica, if you will, of Amistad. I'm talking a little bit about that.
Amistad.
We had an amphibious vehicle there, and we had and folks were in there.
A mule and 40 acres, that's our passage overflow.
That's a passage overflow, you know what I'm saying? You know, and just to think about in terms of, you know, thinking about this this gentleman that I just mentioned, General Dean, you know, he's an African-American, but let me tell you what his responsibilities are. And I'm sure many Oregonians would recognize it. When you see those F-15s flying over Oregon, that's his job.
Oh, okay.
He's the expert. He's the command for all of those jets that are flying over Oregon.
This piece of history needs to be brought out.
People need to know that. It wasn't an affirmative action.
All right.
This man is an expert in his field.
All right.
In fact, when Oregon went from F-11s to F-15, he's one of the experts in the world.
All right.
And he basically now is a one-star general, and that's his command, if you will. Train and operate. He puts that whole piece together.
That's wonderful.
And that's just beautiful, you know. And hopefully, you young people out there that are listening, if you happen to be young people across the board, especially those young African American males not knowing what to do sometimes, look at this man's achievement here. And there's a way to do that.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and so maybe contact me. I don't have any problems, you know, to talk to you about different things. It's very, very important. But that was General Dean. He was in that end of it. Then we also had another brother who happened to have been in the Marine Corps. He was a gunnery sergeant. He lives here. He was a recruiter. I was a recruiter here. That's how I came to Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
But the fact of the matter is, the military meant a lot to black folks. That was our freedom.
All right.
Of Juneteenth, 1915. In fact, when Frederick Douglass, that's what he did. That's how we got our freedom.
All right.
That's what it was all about.
All right. To fight for our freedom.
We had to fight for this country. We fought for this flag.
All right, then.
Sometimes some people say within history says that if African Americans wasn't involved with the Union, if you will, fighting for that American flag, we could be living under the Confederacy.
Could be.
The Confederate flag.
Could
have happened. It could have happened.
It could have happened.
Because the Americans were fighting Americans. The South against the North, if you will. Amen. And had the South won, if they had been sharp enough, they would have said, they had all the slaves right there. Mm-hmm. Well, look, why don't we just give them the freedom and win the war?
All right.
And win the whole deal. It didn't happen that way. They had to go down through Harriet Tubman, through the Underground Railroad, went down to the North, and old Frederick Douglass caught up the numbers and went to Lincoln.
All right.
Am I right?
All right.
Talk to me, okay?
Amen.
So anyway, I get a little excited about this at times because I think it's very, very important that we know this history. I'm not talking about Republicans or Democrats.
No.
I'm talking about
American history.
I'm talking about American history. American history. And hopefully they can take this stuff that we're talking about, because many of you out there listening, you never had this in school.
No.
We need to have this in our schools.
No.
I mean, we could be proud about that, but it'll also give us a reference in terms of where and how we got to where we are.
Mm-hmm. And you wanted to talk about Peninsula Park.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about Peninsula Park. That was the... I'm sorry about that. I get excited. I'm a Buffalo soldier. I'm a Buffalo soldier. I just get excited about this history. I just got into this history, really, really into it, over the last 5 years, you know. And
it's been kept from us.
It's been kept. And, you know, and I never had this in my history books. Uh-huh. I mean, I knew about Abraham Lincoln and Lincoln's birthday and, you know, you can go down to Mine Frank, and they had a discount.
But that's about it.
That's about the size of it, you know what I mean? But I never knew why this man was shot.
All right.
Why he really was shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was trying to make us all free.
Uh-huh.
We wouldn't have this issue of voting and all this other stuff. I mean, we were all free. That's why I said I wish he had lived. And he spent 3 terms. We wouldn't be dealing with this issue today.
We'd be dealing with it.
We've been all Americans across the board. Anyway, Peninsula Park activities here locally.
We had a restaurant owner locally here.
We have all kinds of booths, if you will.
Yeah.
In fact,
you
O.B.
might
Hill,
want to mention his name. Oh, you mentioned it, O.B.
O.B. Hill was there, Black Dollar Day. And then, you know, O.B. is a, you know, he's a historian in his own right. He's writing his book. You know, he had his bookstore. He sort of let it.
Yeah.
He let it. He's basically closed shop so he could write this book.
He's writing his book.
He said, because we're all getting at that age, you know, and he wants to make sure he document all of this stuff.
All right.
He has a lot to document.
He's a beautiful person, if you will.
He's spearheading the reparations.
The reparation issues and that end of it.
And the restaurant owner.
The restaurant owners were there. Larry from Yam Yam.
I didn't want to mention his name,
Yam Yam. Everybody knows Yam Yam, but he's on MLK. If you go in north. Just prior to Lombard, on the west side of the street there on MLK.
Some delicious food.
You got some of that. You got some of the best barbecue in town. You know
I like
saying?
Them wings.
Oh, he got some good wings.
What you say?
Got some good wings. We're not advertised. We're just saying there's some good food. But Larry was part
anyway,
of the
anyway, he's put his whole heart and soul
yes, he
into
did.
The
yes, he did. He had it on his lot the last
yes.
year.
Mm-hmm.
And this year we had it at Peninsula Park.
He's given a lot of food
and Woody
away.
Woody Botnick was very much involved in this process.
Yes, he was.
I mean,
yes,
he had his heart in it. Yeah. His family was in it. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks were in it. And there was no problems. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a very diverse crowd. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just, in all due respect, just with black folks.
A beautiful feeling.
It was a three-day festivity kind of a deal.
Yeah, you know,
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
At Sunday.
And
we
had the Muslims come.
We had the Muslims. They had the ministry day.
On Sunday.
On Father's Day.
Yeah.
On Father's Day, the ministry were there.
Yeah, it was
and
free.
And they recognized Father's Day, and it was free. Mm-hmm. The ministry, they had all denominations that made statements, if you will.
We had the Black National Anthem.
The Black National Anthem was sitting there. That was great. And then that Saturday was a very interesting piece, too,
yes,
because some folks were coming. Governor Ted Kulongoski was there, and he made a proclamation.
Mm-hmm.
And on Saturday also, too, Dan Salzman, representing the city of Portland for Mayor Tom Potter, made a proclamation.
All right.
Acknowledging, if you will,
right.
what Juneteenth was all about.
All about. Mm-hmm.
And that's what
you
we're
know,
trying
I,
to do,
yeah,
educate and inform.
I know, but most people don't know this, but actually... Vera Katz did that back in 1994.
Did she really?
Yes, she did.
Vera did that?
Yes, she did.
You know, I mean, we've had our ins and outs.
Now that we're bringing,
things
out.
So Vera Katz was
not on her own so much.
But she did that. Was she mayor at the time?
And she was mayor, but what?
Was she there?
It was presented to her and she signed it. Okay.
Oh, she okay.
A
she,
proclamation.
Okay, but she didn't come to the
well,
event.
She didn't come because at that time we were still a little grassroots movement, and weren't really inviting anyone because we were giving up our names.
I got you.
So we
I
weren't inviting people who had a big name.
Okay.
Because we wanted to honor the ancestors.
I got you.
If they came, that was fine. Okay.
But no one marched. There's never been a dignitary that marched in that parade. Come on, talk to me.
If a dignitary
marched,
they marched as just another descendant or person, because we are honoring God and the ancestors.
Okay, but I'm just saying to you, I'm asking that question.
All right.
I'm asking that question.
Okay.
Because like I said, you know, the officers with the Buffalo Soldiers were always white.
All right.
The general who led that group, that troop,
right,
in Galveston, Texas, was white.
Okay.
But many of those cavalrymen, soldiers, were black.
All right.
Amen.
And so the whole idea is that was the whole idea of General Dean.
Mm-hmm.
General Dean, in this particular case, just happened to have been black.
He was black.
He was black.
All right.
But ordinarily, we'd have a white one up there.
We never had a General Dean before.
You never had any.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have him from now on,
from
right?
now on.
And hopefully we might be able to get the commander-in-chief, if you will, because it really all due respect, I did ask the commanding chief of the state of Oregon, Governor Kulongoski, to be. Unfortunately, his people at the time told me that he was busy. He was busy.
Okay.
And so we asked all kinds of
He sure would have been in trouble back during the Civil War, because that was a busy time, wasn't
but
it? Fighting
time,
for freedom is a busy thing.
But it's kind of that was a Saturday, right?
Okay.
But
yeah,
it's kind of interesting. When I asked him, asked his folks, he was busy, but. But the word got out, you see, because now it's politics. People are running for governor.
Isn't that
so they made sure that he got the word.
I'm not going to tell you we asked to play. I'm not going to tell you the dignitary we asked to play Abraham Lincoln one year, and he was busy.
Who was that?
I'm not.
Come on, now.
No,
come on. You got to give it to me.
I'll give it to you in private.
Now, how long was this ago?
Out him. You can out him later.
Well, how long was this ago?
Oh, that was about 6 or 7 years ago.
6, 7 years ago. I think I remember that time. was he? So it's kind of like, what's my line?
You
know?
He
like
had
maybe,
three guesses.
Now wait a minute. Wasn't a brother, was it?
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't a brother. Okay.
No, you know we had one of the brothers. We had to have a journalist. He's not in town right now. Do the Emancipation Proclamation. He played the role of Frederick Douglass.
Mm.
I'm going to say his name, Oscar Spicer.
Oscar Spicer.
Because he's not in town anymore, and it's just right.
Yeah. But he was asked.
But he was such a supporter, and
But
we couldn't get the Abe Lincoln dignitary.
We couldn't get the Abe Lincoln.
So Oscar Spicer played Frederick Douglass and read the Emancipation.
That's beautiful.
There's a lot of.
He's also a Buffalo Soldier too, you know.
There's a lot of.
You know, Oscar is a Buffalo Soldier.
Oh yes, he's
not
Buffalo
here now,
soldier.
But he, at one time he was the president.
Yes.
The
pastor at Bethel AME Church one time, right there on Broadway and MLK, delivered the Gettysburg Address.
Oh, beautiful.
So beautiful.
Who was that?
The pastor back at,
Was it Lee Henderson or not?
Back
Lee?
There, about
Green?
6, 7 years. If you say
it
long
Green?
Enough,
was
I'll
was it Green?
Read.
Wallace?
Was it Williams?
Or Williams?
I'm not supposed to be saying the names.
Okay,
but anyway,
right.
He went.
Folks were involved.
He was so eloquent.
Yeah,
and
beautiful,
he did the
beautiful.
And
beautiful.
All the children listened to the Gettysburg Address.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's
and
beautiful.
They knew. It came alive.
That's beautiful. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know, if you notice, we just kind of just ad-libbing, if you will, just talking a little bit. And what we got about 15 minutes. We'd like to see whether or not you'd like to give us a few calls. If you've got any input, if you participated in the past Juneteenth celebration, whether it's been in the march or in the celebration in itself, give us a call.
I'd like to.
Please give us a call here, KBOO.
If no one calls in the next few seconds, I'd like for Harriet Tubman to sing a little bit.
Well, I tell you what, why don't you sing, and then people can just be calling in at the same time, and we'll just have them hold for a minute, okay? But we'll let us sing. Come on, Harriet. Well,
Don't let the devil ride, or We Are Soldiers, or something.
Give us a song. Give us a song. She got that T-shirt on there, 40 Acres and a Mule. That was one of the days there across the
Satan,
United
Satan, you can't stop me, Satan. You can't stop me, Satan. You can't stop me. You just as well so stop trying. You roam up and down
the cities and the town, causing God's people to fuss and clown. Satan, you can't stop me, Satan. You can't stop me, Satan. You can't stop me, you just as well to stop trying. You wake up in the morning, you get in the street, you talk about me to the people you meet. You lie on one and you lie on two, you just lie, lie, lie till you don't know what to do. Satan, you can't stop me, Satan. You can't stop me, Satan. You can't stop me, you just well to stop trying. I see hearses back up to the door. I see them come and I see them go. I even see hearses back up to the door. Oh, Satan, you can't stop me, Satan. You can't stop me, you just do well to stop trying.
All right, all right. Let's see if I can get that. Wasn't that good? Wasn't that beautiful? Let's see if we can get some call-ins here. I think that number is 231-8187. 231-8187. Again, like I said, we're talking about American history. We're talking about American history, and we're just trying to inform and educate you. So hopefully next year, come Juneteenth, you'll get the word and know that we'll be marching and we'll be festing, because it was really the abolishment, if you will, yes, of racism.
Yes,
back in when January 1, 1863, racism, if you will, and slavery was abolished. That's the way I look at it, when President Lincoln signed that proclamation.
You
okay?
know, Harriet Tubman and Clare Peoples are working for the $1 million for every descendant of the Middle Passage.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
And Harriet Tubman sings a song called, "You Wanna Ride? Get on this train.
Come on,
All right.
Don't you wanna go? Oh, come on, come on, come on. Don't you wanna go? Oh, come on, come on, come on. Don't you wanna be free? Don't you wanna ride this train? Come on, come on, come on. Don't you wanna be free? Oh, come on, come on, come on. Don't you wanna be free? Come on, come on, come on. Don't you wanna be free? Don't you want to ride this train?"
All right, all right. Boy, I tell you, I mean the enthusiasm and the and what comes out, you know, it goes back to my days, you know, back in the fields up in Louisiana.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And
said,
boy, I used to go to them churches.
$1 million.
Oh my. Well, you know, and we need to do that kind of satisfaction.
That you were working the fields yourself.
Oh yes. Lafayette, Louisiana. I tell you, I lived on a farm.
Oh,
grew
man.
Up on a farm.
Yeah.
You know, raised hogs, chickens.
What'd you say?
I had that mule behind that plow. I had my tractor.
Yeah, I know what
mule
you're
behind
doing.
That plow, and then picking that cotton.
Yeah, I grow tractors.
Man. Remember that early in the morning? When that dew hit you in the back of the neck?
Sawed firewood.
You understand?
Sold the power saw.
That's right.
I was
That's
one
right.
of the women that were the first power saw that came out.
Is that right?
Wilson Road Book.
Wow.
Was a 2-man power saw.
Oh, my God.
And I told it didn't cut logs.
Really?
And hauled them to the sawmill and built a 6-room house myself.
That reminds me, one piece of history I didn't tell you about, Harriet Tubman, is her effect as a woman on women preachers in Mississippi and throughout the South.
Really?
Yes, she's just got the courage of
hey, give us a call,
part of a gunfighter.
Give us a call, 231-8187. Again, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Don't worry if you missed the parade this time around. You'll get it next time around.
Come
but like I said, we're
parade.
Here to educate and inform. It's not political. It's just this is American history. And it's very, very important that all you listeners out there, and pass the word. In fact, get on the internet, www.juneteenth.com.
Amen.
The information is sitting there, www.juneteenth.com.
All right.
or www.buffalosoldiers. It's sitting there. www.abrahamlincoln, president. And look at his background and his history. I shared with you a passage, if you will, from this gentleman who wrote that piece that I read for you. But, you know, he's coming from his history.
All right.
That's his reference point.
All right.
Maybe you might have a reference point. Mm-hmm. Got my point?
All right.
But this is about America. This is about American history. We're just trying to educate. That's all we're trying to do. This is not bias or anything. It's that we're trying to get some of a reference point so we can get down to business.
Mm-hmm.
We got problems in our country right now. We got poverty.
Sure no.
We got
sure
people
no.
who are hungry.
All down south.
We got to start respecting one another.
Yeah.
Both men and women. You got me?
Amen.
So give us a call at 503-231-8187. Look like we got a caller. Caller, your question, sir, ma'am?
Hey, yes, I just really want to know that certain dignitary's name who wouldn't be Abraham Lincoln. Just really want to know for the record.
Well, was that Oscar, the one who didn't put you in there?
Yeah. Hold on, I couldn't
hear
the
question.
Who was
the one that didn't want to do Abraham Lincoln?
Oh, I really...
I just really want to know.
The Lord is telling me not to mention his name.
Okay. Who was it? Was he African American or was he white?
No, he was white.
Well,
praise God, wasn't African American.
He wasn't African American.
No.
So if I guess the name, does that mean you're going to tell?
Can you?
Well, maybe we'll flash my cell phone number on the phone. I'll tell you in private.
Give it to me.
I can't. I'll give it to Brother Bruce and
you give it to me, and then
later.
I'll tell him.
I can't.
Ron Wyden, wasn't it?
No, actually, it wasn't Mr. White.
Was he an official?
You know,
was he the mayor?
This is the thing.
Oh, just be honest. Let's be honest about it, because he needs to know.
There may have been illness in his family or something.
But he needs to know.
So for this reason,
I
don't
know.
We need to know. I mean, what was the person? Come on,
it's just that the Lord has already told me. Maybe I shouldn't have brought it up.
Yeah, but the Lord told you to bring it up. See, now you got to tell us the name. Come on, tell us, sister.
Jesus.
We need to know who is the person. Real quick, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
This memory loss I've been having is really working
for
me.
She's really tough here
I
at
can't
this point in time.
His name right
is there,
now.
Is
okay,
there enough?
Okay.
I'm getting kind of old.
Tell me this. any recollection of Juneteenth were you given the opportunity to see a Juneteenth before or whatever? What's your background on Juneteenth, Colin?
Oh, you talking to me?
Colin. Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, Colin.
Oh, yes, I've been participating with Juneteenth for a long time. Matter of fact, I was there at the first Juneteenth. And everyone there since. And I'm not going to say who I am.
Oh, wait a minute.
Praise God.
Both of you all are doing the same thing.
Praise God. We know
well, anyway, we want to bless you for being a part of it. And
I think you guys are doing a beautiful job on the radio. I just wanted to call and give you my support.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much, and God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Sure enough.
Another thing, Brother Bruce, if people want to, for next year, give me the name of their ancestors. We put the names of the ancestors up in the chants as
good.
We're going down the street as
okay.
part of the passage
okay.
over.
Okay.
Okay.
Can we, is it possible we might be able to get some sort of signage of some sort where we could actually, people could come maybe to Bethel, AME
yes.
Church, and they could write in the name
yes.
of their
going
loved
to have
ones,
a,
you know what I mean?
We're going to have a float.
Their moms, their dad who might
yeah.
have deceased.
Well, we've lost
deceased,
so many young people. We've lost children by violence.
Right?
And we had in the past parades, we've had a Stop the Violence portion of the parade
okay.
with the banner. And people brought pictures of maybe even their children
mm-hmm.
that had been lost through violence.
Mm-hmm.
And we, for next year, we really want for the spiritual presence of
the
people who have passed over to be felt.
We got to give them this. They need a contact number. Can you give them your number? And I'll give
yes.
you give them your number for
you
your part,
your,
and I'll give them my number too. It's no matter.
Yeah, we'll give you a couple of numbers.
Okay. What's your number? How do
my number is 503-358-2759.
Okay.
And you want to give yours?
Oh, yes. Right. Say yours again one more time.
503-358-2759.
Okay, and my number, if you're interested in getting the Buffalo Soldiers, you can give me a call, and or if you want to get us some more background, you want to call me, we can make sure, I'll make sure that I get it over to the organizers of the parade
yes.
and also the festivities. I'm at 503-701-0457. Again, 503-701-0457. But again, I'm going to challenge you. Go to the internet. If you don't have the internet, give me a call. I'll fax you something.
Right.
If I can't fax it to you, you can just maybe join KBOO, or you can look at my talk, my TV talk show, which is the Oregon Voters Digest on Portland Cable Medium. It's on Sunday from 4 to 5, from 4 to 5 on Channel 11, 4 to 5 on Channel 11. In fact, we did something this past week on the piece, and I'm also on OPB, and so we did something on OPB, Oregon Public Broadcasting, on the Internet. You know, but anyway, we're going to do more of this.
And we had Pastor Overstreet's, didn't you have her on?
Yes, we did. Yeah. Again,
her church on Overstreet Temple.
Those two numbers again are 503-358-2759 and our 503-701-0457. Give us a call and
part of the parade,
join
when you see the translators coming down the street. Just get in with the parade and join.
You know, I want to thank the translators, too. You know, they bagged me all the way.
Oh, they're so wonderful.
Oh, and that's beautiful. That is beautiful. Yeah, that's just beautiful. Sure. In fact, if you want to call Harriet Tubman, you may have to go back to Mississippi.
Yeah.
You want to give your number, Ms. Tubman?
Yeah, go on. Yes, what it is?
601-310-4142.
All right. What's that again?
601-310-4142.
Sounds great.
I have a video.
Let's see, we got a caller. We got a caller coming in. Caller, you're on the air. Your question or comment, please. Yes, caller, you're on the air. Your question or comment, please. Okay, we lost a caller, but give us a call again. We still have a few more minutes. We'll catch up with you. Let's see if we can catch you. We sort of lost you.
BB, I have
We'll see if we can try to get this caller on. Okay, keep talking then. As soon as the caller comes in.
Well, I was going to say, We at the Passage Over Committee, we had a vision for Harriet Tubman and Claire Peoples going into the highways and the byways of Harlem and Oakland.
Oh, that's beautiful.
As going up and down and just evangelizing the streets for reparations.
Okay.
For reparations.
Sounds great. Sounds great.
Anybody interested in reparations?
Okay, caller. We've got another caller here. Caller, you're on the air. Your question or comment, please.
Can you hear me, Brother Bruce?
We sure can, brother.
There you go. Reggae Bob. Hello.
How you doing, Reggae?
Good. Is that Mother Peoples?
No, I tell you, it's not Mother Peoples. I can't give you a name, you know what I'm saying, because it's the Passover.
You were
and Mother Peoples didn't make
sorry,
the show
I'm
this
sorry.
Time. But you were there, Brother Bob. You saw the whole deal. How'd you feel about it?
I was there 1, 2, 3 days.
Yes.
I was there almost every hour, and it was one of the best weekends of my life.
Hey, okay. Praise God.
Good night.
Weekends of my life. I mean, it is our holiday. If there's any holiday that there ever is, Juneteenth is ours.
Yes.
Praise God.
It is history.
It's ours, and BB and the Sister X.
Yes.
Sister X there in the house. I want to let you know, my show, Bruce, I'm going to be a little bit late, maybe 6-7 minutes late, so you go ahead. I'm coming on after you.
I'll stick around until you get here, Rick.
Come on after you, and I'm going to have just a little bit of Juneteenth.
Yes,
I'm going to do. I'm going to do as much music as I can for these 2 hours, but I'm coming down, Bruce.
All right, Brother Bob. Thank you very much, and God bless you, my brother.
Thank you.
Okay, good enough. We got another caller. Yes, we got another caller. Caller, you're on the air. Your question or comment, please.
Hi.
Hello there.
Hi, I'm a fifth grade history teacher, and I keep running into problems trying to find resources on.
Hello. Look like I'm losing. I lost the caller. I don't know what happened to him. Caller, get back to us again. And if you're listening, I'll give you my number again: 503-701-0457. I'm on that military part of it. On the other half of it, the Harriet Tubman side of it, you can give that person a call at 503-358-2759.
And we have a school teacher.
And or you can call Mississippi Harriet Tubman. Mississippi, who's a guest of ours, at 601-310-4142.
We have a school teacher, I'll call her Mary McLeod Bethune, who is really at the heart of this parade.
You got a phone number?
Of Church of the Living God. Her number is 503-283-2724. And she is a school teacher, well known in the area. and honor the passage over. We're going to call her Sister Mary McLeod Bethune.
Okay, good.
And that was her number, 283-2724. She will give you some help with that history.
What about, you know, a lot of times there's this other issue about Black History Month that we do. Do we have a speakers bureau? Would folks like yourself be available, if you will, to go before? It seems as though this person who just called, we lost him. Maybe was a teacher or something. Maybe he would like to invite someone over.
Yeah, he was a teacher.
Invite him to so he can speak to young people. Would you be available for something like this?
Yes, I would.
Okay, good. And then naturally, Harry Tubman would be available by phone. But
and Mary McLeod Bethune might even be able to speak.
She'll come anyway. Anyway, we got about two more minutes. And any lasting words? Any lasting words you'd like to
say? Well, I just want to say, my brother, that I have enjoyed being on your program. I just pray that we continually, because all of our peoples need to be more educated on history, not be like myself, just learn a little bit about it.
Well, now you know.
And I'm proud of being Herod and to help the people to come out from to know more about where she came from.
I got you.
And what she went through.
Good.
Amen.
What do you say, Sister X?
I would just like to say, I just want to give thanks to God and our once invisible ancestors.
Okay. Amen. Well, like I said, I don't know. I think Reggae Bob's going to be on. Did you want us to hold for another 5 minutes? Okay. We'll hold. I guess we'll just go on and accept more calls until he gets in the studio. So if you still want to give us a call and be involved in what we're doing at this point in time, and like I said,
we could have her sing We Are Soldiers.
Okay, good. I'll tell you what, we'll start doing that piece. but you can give us a call at 503-231-8187. Again, 503-231-8187. And for those of you who couldn't get through, we apologize for that. But again, too, like I said, we welcome your call, and hopefully you got those phone numbers, and you can give us a call at those numbers. But again, you can give us a call at 503-231-8187. And what we have been doing for the last hour, we have been sort of educating them, informing them of what Juneteenth really means.
Amen.
It was actually January 1, 1863, that really abolished, President Abraham Lincoln abolished racism and slavery at that time. But it was 2 years later down south that he had to send troopers down there with buffalo soldiers like myself.
What you say?
To go down there and tell them owners, you can't do that no more.
Yes, sir. Okay. We are soldiers,
yes,
are in the army.
We'll get right to the caller.
We got to fight, although we got to cry. We got to
hold on, caller.
We got to hold up the blood-stained battle. We got to hold. We got to hold it up until we die.
Yeah.
Oh, we are soldiers, are in the army. We got to fight. Although we got to cry, got to hold, we got to hold up blood-stained battle. We got to hold, we got to hold it up until we die.
All right. Well, let's see if we can get this caller. Caller, you're on the air. Your question or comment, please.
Just a quick comment. I just heard the last 15 or so minutes.
Sure.
But as a Caucasian person, I wanted whoever is listening to know that there's an organization called CURE, Caucasians United for Reparations and Equality.
Okay.
And they have an excellent website with lots of really good, powerful information about combating white racism.
Beautiful.
Praise God.
So,
well, is that www.cure?
Yes.
Okay, C-U-R-E, right?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Is there a local organization?
No, not really.
Not really?
Not that I know of.
Well, you may be one.
We'll start one.
You want to start one?
Thank you.
I should.
We'll help you out.
We appreciate it.
Now, let me give you these two numbers, 503-358-2759.
Okay.
And or you can call me at 503-701-0457.
0457.
Yeah, we'll get you involved in Juneteenth.
Yeah. Okay, you know, that'd be great.
Yeah, because from a history standpoint, Juneteenth, a lot of people don't know about this history, but when they went down south in Galveston, Texas, and said that they were free, they also freed some white folks there, too.
Amen.
That's right. It wasn't just black folks.
Yeah. That needs to be...
That needs to be known.
Known and needs to be in all the textbooks. Well, all the textbooks need to be rewritten anyway.
Exactly, in the school. And thank you very, very much for calling.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Thank you for the show.
And give us a call.
All right,
good.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I really appreciate that call, and it's good
too.
We were able to give a response from that standpoint. And you know, another thing I'd like to also share also too, I've been doing cable for a number of years here, and I don't know of any other medium that that gives out the kinds of information that you can get on KBOO radio.
Amen.
It's always a pleasure, even though I'm on once a month, you know, for an hour. I really look forward, if you will, to coming here. And working here at KBOO Radio. And hopefully, this is not pledged at this point in time, but hopefully you will continue to support KBOO Radio.
This is one of the best kids.
Because this is something that, in all due respect, it should be even a bigger medium.
Amen.
But it'll get there one day.
Yes.
So I just want to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to be a part of the KBOO family.
Amen.
And I really appreciate that. So anyway, I guess we got about maybe a few more minutes. Reggae Bob is not there. He said to me to continue on. So you can give us a call. Give us a call at 503-231-8187 and maybe just come up with maybe a response about what you feel about Juneteenth, what you know about it. If you want to know a little bit more, you can get the website, the internet at www.juneteenth.com.
Have you ever
juneteenth.com. And www.buffalosoldier.com, or maybe check out some of President Lincoln's background
in
that Civil War aspect of it. That's what it's all about. And look like I think Reggae Bob is here now, and we'll let him set up, and as soon as he's able to get on the air here, he'll be able to do his thing.
Can we have her do one more thing?
No, okay. Whenever you want to stop. Okay, good. Why don't we go out with a song, and then we'll just go on and give it up. And again, like I said, we love you all here, and we're going to let Harriet Tubman end the program with a song.
Don't let the devil ride. Oh, don't let the devil ride. You let him ride, he'll wanna grind. Don't let him ride. Oh, don't let him ride with you. Oh, don't let him ride with you. If he ride with you, he will tell you what to do. Don't let him ride. Oh, don't let him grab your car. Oh, don't let him grab your car. If he grab your car, he will stop you at the bar. Don't let him ride. Oh, don't let him wear your shoes. Whoa, don't let him ride your shoes. If he rides your shoes, he will tell you what to do. Don't let him ride. Whoa, don't let him hold your hand. Whoa, don't let him hold your hand. If he hold your hand, child, he's your man.
Ooh.
Don't let him ride.
All right, all right. Ooh. Again, this is Bruce Broussard signing out for Reggae Bob, and I'll come out with one last passage from Dr. Martin Luther King. He says, our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. Take care. I'll see you next time around. Have a good one. You got it, Reggae.